Hare Krishna. We'll go off on a little tangent today, at least a tangent from what we were reading in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll explain. Kaviraj Goswami was explaining how Lord Nityananda is self-same Lakshman and self-same Balaram. In other words, he's saying that this person who appeared 500 years ago also appeared 2 million years ago, also appeared 5,000 years ago, and of course when he appeared, then the stories that are written of him, or the history that's written of him, of a Vedic civilization, an advanced civilization that had facilities and assets that are not seen today, civilized human beings existed, which is really in contrast to what we or people are taught in school today. And obviously it's not something that the devotees can just sort of like close their eyes to. Certainly not Srila Prabhupada wasn't closing his eyes to this. Now there's the idea that, yeah, here's our books and they say this, and the world outside says that, and we all live happily ever after. But that wasn't Srila Prabhupada's idea, that we all live happily ever after. In the same vein that very often Krishna consciousness is referred to as a not Krishna consciousness but Vedic literature as mythology, actually our vision of modern natural sciences, history, geography, astrology, everything that's based on sensual perception and empirical knowledge, that's mythology. We say this is all mythology, and the truth of the world, the truth of cosmology, the truth of history, the truth of physics, the way atoms function and combine, that Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the truth. And what you're seeing is not. Well, we make mobile phones. You make mobile phones, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have you have some kind of special right on understanding the history, or that your understanding of history is correct. I'll put up the link connected to here, and you can look at that. And that link is just a few days old, and it's based on a Supreme Court decision in United States of America on the Smithsonian Institute. Smithsonian Institute are sort of the guardians of American paleontological and archaeological history. In other words, their version of history is what's being presented in school and what everyone believes. And of course it's the same as what goes around in the rest of the world. So what does this article say? Well, you can see it for yourself. It says that finally the Smithsonian Institute was obliged to reveal in its records that it had and it destroyed human remains, skeletons that were found in America by the thousands, which showed people of from 6 feet to 12 feet in stature, in other words 4 meter high people, giants by modern calculation, not one, not two, not just a bone, but many. Why? Because obviously that contradicts modern historians' view of how Americans came to be, that they came across the Bering Strait from Asia. So not only mythology, but lying, cheating, systematic, plain and simple, destroying evidence, which is there in, for instance, our Forbidden Archaeology book, a very valuable and important book. And so it goes with everything else that you learn in school, because when things are based on sensory perception, on the empiric process, on the aroha panta, as we use in Sanskrit instead of the avroha panta, you're not going to get a perfect picture. Maybe some things, and maybe your 747s and your rockets to somewhere, although not necessarily to the moon, as well as your mobile phones and computers work. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that you say is the truth, just because some things work. And here is evidence, if you want to use the mobile phone as the veracity of the scientist, then here's also the untruthfulness of the scientists. Here's one example, and there are many examples of hidden, destroyed evidence that goes contrary to man's concept of modern people's concept of evolution. And of course, when we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that we should sort of sink into some kind of happy coexistence with the modern view of the world. It isn't that our main business out there is to prove to everyone that, yes, we're a religion like every other religion, we're also an authentic religion, and once we've proven that in a democratic world, or so-called democratic world, then we just continue on chanting happily ever after. No. Srila Prabhupada had said that our worship of Krishna, our philosophy, Supreme Personality of God, at chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping deities, so that's our private business. But our real business to the outside world is to wake people up to the fact that they're being cheated, that what they're learning in school is, for the most part, all mythology. And that there's another reality that exists, because it can't be that some things in Srimad Bhagavatam are right and some things are not. That's not the way scripture is. Either it's the absolute truth or it's not. And if it is the absolute truth, then we have to be willing to present it. And that's why Prabhupada placed so much emphasis on the Bhaktivedanta Institute, to dismantle the myth of modern education, of modern science, of scientists, and of course, in Prabhupada's very unique terminology, to kick them in the face with a boot. Unfortunately, in our modern preaching, we're not necessarily as much boot kickers as Prabhupada was. But still, that's our business. And Prabhupada's biggest boot is the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, in which we're showing that, no, that's not the way the universe looks. It looks like this. And of course, we have to give evidence in support of that as well. We just can't make a nice big chandelier. I don't know how many $1 million costing chandelier, but we're going to have actually the explanation behind that. And we do. So we shouldn't. It has to start with the individual. It has to start with the individual devotees. Don't be complacent about these things that you read, and don't try and equate them with what you learn in school. They don't equate. They don't match up. Narada Muni says, hey, this is a revolution. This is the beginning of Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavad Dharma. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not the textbook of speculators. This is not meant to satisfy materialistic, atheistic people's version of reality. Here we're giving you reality as it is. But for that, you have to be willing to be a revolutionary. And revolutionaries don't always succeed. Of course, this revolution is destined to succeed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. But it certainly doesn't come without revolution. It means that you have to go out in the streets and be willing to fight and sacrifice and not necessarily make peace with the opposition or with those who maintain the status quo. And really, our preaching, our book distribution, our prasadam distribution, but especially our book distribution, is meant to do just that. It's meant to build up a quantum of, I don't know if quantum is the right word, it's meant to build up a weight of evidence total in people's minds, in people's homes, until it comes to a tipping point, until people say, I'm not willing to accept what I'm learning in school. It doesn't match up. Historically, there are such tipping points. The most recent one, of course, was in 1989, when the whole communist regime collapsed. Communism is a fairy tale. It's a mythology. It doesn't work. It lasted for, say, 70 years, just about, but it collapsed. It imploded. The last stronghold of communism, the second to last stronghold was China. They're not, that's not communism, this is just a one-party system based on ultimate materialism and inequality amongst the masses. The last stronghold of communism is just selling out, namely Cuba. They're inviting the Americans to come in with their dollars and change Cuba into a real tourist resort. So many fairy tales. Don't believe the fairy tales you learn. That's why I get baffled when devotees who are serious practitioners of Krishna consciousness at a university take on some kind of profession. Can't equate these two things, but rather better be a profess Srila Prabhupada's teachings, be a revolutionary in the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and really expose, as Srila Prabhupada would say, these rascals for what they are. Hare Krishna.